be with the Lord, if not before today. Today, at least his body expired. And so please be in prayer for his family and for Jeff, Patty, and everybody involved. It's a very stressful waiting this long. And so let's be in prayer for the family as they get through the stress and all the things that related to what happened. Was Saturday morning, went down there and decision was made at 11. And every type of support was taken away. Even the vein water, food, and he has been breathing since Saturday morning at around 11. There's nothing given to him till this afternoon. This is really something. I need to have something to drink and eat every 4 or 5 hours, but body hang in there this long. So please be in prayer for the family. It is very stressful. This time, continue to be in prayer for Tisha's dad, Raymond Thompson. In prayer for Linda McNeil's mother, my mother. Any other prayer requests we need to make known. David, how's Stephanie doing? Okay, let's continue to be in prayer for Stephanie and David. Anything else we need to have brought before them? Okay. A couple that Tish, Leslie, and I used to know, and Jerry, I guess you knew David and all of them, came here a little bit, and Tish is sending them tapes now. Both, they're divorced, David and Debbie, and they're going through a lot of most unfortunate testing. I don't want to get into it. What my prayer request for you to be would be the power of the Spirit and giving them wisdom, peace, and spiritual love. They will learn to walk in the Spirit during some extremely traumatic times in both of their lives and their children. So please be in prayer for the work of the Spirit, who is in both of them are believers. We're very confident about that. And so the Spirit will work inside of them at this time. Okay. All right, let's prepare ourselves for going into the Scriptures. Is the tape on? Okay. As we go into prayer, in today's cartoons, one just jumped out at me, and I can't even express to you, and I think the fact that you're here on this Tuesday evening in such a small group, in a small assembly, probably you don't even need what I want to say here. But it is just so vital to understand what the truth is. The cartoon has, I have it up here, but it has, it's like this. It has a intersection. And on any intersection like this, you have four directions. And in each one is this cartoon type character. And each one says to follow me to the truth. And then this one says follow me. Here, follow me to the truth. And then this one says this is the way to truth. This is the way to truth. So you have four voices crying out, this is the way to truth. This is the way to truth. This is the way to truth. And how apropos for life that is, especially in the spiritual realm. I mean, we can just put, various denominations, various religions, various movements, the truth in the way, and I'm going to have the one going this way to be the real truth. And this one is the proclamation of the true gospel. But you got to remember, if we dealt with this in the spiritual realm, each one of them will use the word gospel. So what is the gospel? And then you got that some are understand the truth of the gospel in regard to salvation one, which we're calling eternal life or redemption. But then there's another issue, and it's salvation two, or how to be redeemed from sin as a believer, how to live a Christian life. And there are just so many preachers and teachers and pastors and leaders. No, this is the truth. This is the truth. No, this is the truth. And every one of them, except the one who says it is simply by faith in the work of God, have some type of work that you have to do. Some kind of thing. It may just be the learning of doctrine. It may be the moral righteousness. Follow me into moral righteousness. Follow me into follow me into emotionalism. Follow me into service and work and all this type of thing. And people, each one of us, you and myself, I mean, this is something I have to do personally for me. What is truth? Great question by Pontius Pilate. And the truth will set you free. And you just look, okay, this is the way, but this is what you have to do. Well, then I'm not free. This is what you have to do. Well, then I'm not free. This is what you have to do. Then I'm not free. The truth will set you free. And born-again believers, let's talk primarily here about salvation too. But even among believers, all these different ways in which you have to recover from sin and you have to live your life. And understanding Scripture. How I see Scripture, which in a real effect is how do I see God? That really comes down to how I see Scripture is how I see God. And each one of us have to go through our life in this whole spiritual conflict. And those of you here tonight, and there are a lot of preachers talking about the spiritual warfare. And then they end up talking about works. Talk about what you have to do. And why the warfare? Where do I fit into all of this? What am I about? And we just got so many major denominations and religions with this is the truth. And they're very adamant about it. And then we got people who partial truth and partial works. And there you come into a little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. This cartoon to me just was so profound. As to what's going on in the whole realm of what we'll call the spiritual warfare. And worshiping God, going to church, these kinds of things is not just, oh well, a little part of my life. It is to a lot of people. But it should be the momentum of my life. My whole totality of my being is in the truth. And, it's a very powerful, reverent type of, subject. And when I say reverend, that means to be taken seriously. And Paul talks about these things. The scriptures talk about these things. What is truth? I like a phrase. Look with me at Galatians. We haven't prayed yet. Just getting ready for prayer. But what I want us to do when going to prayer is that I want you to see how essential, dear people, the Holy Spirit is to seeing the truth of Scripture. Just what I have on the board? Huh? Yeah. Well, it's Non Sicutor, who I love. I love his cartoons. He has some really profound ones sometimes. And these four men are walking. One's walking up a stair, the other is walking streets in different ways. And it says the opening and closing ceremony of the annual Dogma Day parade. And so they're all on this parade, and it says, follow me to the truth, follow me to the truth, follow me to the truth. Here's my dogma, my dogma, my dogma, my dogma. And they each have their dogma of what is the truth. And we have to, and this is what separates why there's so many churches and so many denominations and so many movements. What in the world is the truth? And I can get up and just be a wonderful person talk about wonderful life and the family and all this stuff and not even being the truth. It's just what is the truth? Look at Galatians. Understand with Galatians, not going outside of our book. Galatians 2:5. Galatians 2:5. But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. But people, I want y'all to understand something. All these people will use that phrase like I do, the truth of the gospel, but what that is different. What is the truth of the gospel? And the way that we're seeing what Scripture is saying is that the truth of the gospel is very simple. I, God, will do it. Trust me. And we trust in the one that He sent, Jesus Christ, for our salvation one, the one He sent, the Holy Spirit here. They'll come down and say, oh, we have the truth of the gospel, Lordship salvation. I heard on the same thing, I heard Sunday, driving back from the hospital, some pastors. And I got in too late to hear their names and churches and everything, and it probably was even better. But a group of pastors, and every one of them were very proud that they with the gospel, and this was their word, the gospel they taught was a responsibility gospel. By that, a responsibility gospel, and by that it meant that you better do your part. They were talking, what led into it, as I picked up on it, was this whole thing with our president, and one man, well, they all were very proud they taught a responsibility gospel, and one man was very, you can't be saved and do those kind of sins. Two of the men, and I don't know how many were there, but I was trying to pick it up, two men were very proud that they have been kicking people out of their assembly if they do certain sins. Very proud of it. And the others said, yes, we're kicking people out of our assembly. And I think we're going to see more and more of this, people. I think as Christians see in their eyes things getting worse, and please remember, things aren't getting worse. All that shows me is your ignorance of history. Let me take you through the trip through history, even the first century of the church. And I'll show you some broken down societies. I mean, Romans chapter 1 is written of Rome at the time of Paul. So there's that problem. But as they see what they think is getting worse and worse, what are you going to do if you see things getting worse and worse and you don't understand the truth? You're going to go to law. You're going to go to control. We have got to control. That's what caused John MacArthur to come up with Lordship Salvation. He could not stand it that people who claimed to be a Christian did certain sins that offended him. And so he came up with Lordship Salvation. And people, we're going to see a lot more of this, where we're going to look at sins and, well, we got to get back to law and we got to get back to controlling people. And we're going to control them with the gospel. That's distorting the gospel, as Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, from its very initial intent. Then in Galatians 2:14, just a few verses down, but when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. 4:16. Look at chapter 4, verse 16. Have I therefore become your enemy by telling you the truth? What does he mean by the truth? I hope you do understand that I can get you a lot of pastors that'll tell you it's different than what we've seen it to be here. This is how you're going to see Scripture. How you're going to see what the truth is. How you're going to see what the cross is all about. Whether it's there or not. Look at chapter 5, verse 7. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? What is the truth? How do you see it? You personally, you're talking to someone at work, not anything related to the church. They don't even know where you go. You're talking about the truth. What is the truth? And it's just how we're going to see it, because here's all of these people using the same Bible you and I use, and they've got all of these things. And people, please understand, this is not a 21st century issue. What we're seeing in Galatians is the first century of the church, right after it started. They started coming in with a false gospel, which is not another gospel, immediately. So it's so challenging to us is, what is the truth? The truth of the gospel. The truth of God and the truth of man and God. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need Him desperately to open our eyes that we might see. What was the curse of man? What would happen? And they ate of the fruit. Your eyes will be open, and you will be like God and know good and evil. what Satan said. God said, deny. What is that death? The death is thinking that I know good and evil. Because the whole rest of Scripture is to show you, you don't know. You don't know what good and evil is. I alone am God. You don't see and understand things as God. I am God. And without me, you'll never see the truth. So, let's spend a few moments in prayer and preparing ourselves that the Spirit can open our eyes that we can see the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Scriptures. But Heavenly Father, if that's all that you gave us, we'd be just as hopeless as if you had not given it at all. But you have given to us your Spirit to open our eyes that we might see, to illuminate for us the truth of the Scriptures. Pray now, Father, that your Spirit will do his work in opening our eyes this evening. We know, Heavenly Father, the severity of his ministry in having the writers write the Scripture and preserving it. And he is just as concerned with our understanding of it. What would be the use of being so concerned with its writing and its being preserved if he was not concerned with our seeing? And so we present ourselves to him by faith, Father, to open our eyes to the truth that we might see. Pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, which we have just completed now, as you recall, are the deeds of the flesh. We have a list of a number of sins, which in somewhere in that whole list and takes us all involved. So we have here the deeds of the flesh. The flesh is the old man, the human nature, sometimes called sin nature, nature that's more prone, that is not more, but is prone to sin. And these are the work of the old man. And the way not to do these sins is not to work on them, which is what most churches tell you, most preachers exhort. They might even say somewhere along the way in the power of the Spirit, but the momentum and the loudness of their preaching, the momentum of their preaching is abstain from the sins. Not the loud voice and the emphasis is not on how, but on just don't do it. And then you'll be walking in the Spirit. Whereas if we look at what's happening is, if sins are the deeds of the flesh, then what I need to work on is not walking in the flesh. That's the real issue. And those who do walk in the flesh, produce the production of the flesh, sins, lose inheritance in the kingdom. They are going, all believers enter the kingdom, but whether or not we have the inheritance of the kingdom, it's going to depend on if we walk in the flesh and have the deeds of the flesh. Or now we come to verses 22 through 23, where we're going to have in contrast now the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if you'll take a look at the various things that are going on, we have the deeds of the flesh, fruit, and this is of the flesh, this is of the Spirit. These are in contradiction with each other. They're in conflict. Flesh and the Holy Spirit in conflict with each other, fighting with each other. Now, when you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, this is another thing in dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. It is not a matter of taking a list of all of the fruit and trying to do them. If I want the fruit, where do they come from? They come from the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have to know how to tap into the Holy Spirit so that I can have the fruit coming in me. And the result of the fruit coming into you is by the inference of Paul's writing, inheritance of the kingdom. And that's given in other passages that we looked at Sunday. Now, What Paul is doing in verses 19 through 23, all of these verses combined, if we just take a look at this nice paragraph, we have a great conflict, a great contrast of the old man and the new man. And we saw the same struggle in chapter 4, verse 29, when we saw that the one is born of the faith and one is born of the flesh, how they are in battle against each other, and we saw that that's going on inside of each of us. We have the old man and the new man fighting, an inner struggle. In verse 16, in this section of looking at all of this, the Holy Spirit versus the desires of the flesh. So inside of us is this battle. In verse 17, we have the inner struggle. The flesh of the old man versus the Holy Spirit, the new man. Verse 18, if you're led of the Holy Spirit, you're not under law. Verses 19 to 21, what comes from us when we walk by the flesh? What happens is we walk by the flesh and we desire to do the law. This is why we walk by the flesh. We desire to do the law, but what eventually comes out are the sins. This is what eventually will come out from us as the deeds of the flesh. We're not walking in the kingdom of God. And remember, the kingdom of God is right now. Right now we are in the kingdom of God spiritually on earth. When you walk in the Spirit, you're walking in the kingdom of God right now. Now, in contrast to the deeds of the flesh, fruit of the Holy Spirit, we come to now what's going to happen to you if you walk in the Holy Spirit. We've taken a look at what's going to happen if you walk in the flesh. Now what's going to happen to us if we walk in the Holy Spirit? Verse 22. But, in contrast with the deeds of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and then we're going to have a long list. Let's take a look, first of all, but the fruit. Okay, singular. It does occur in the plural in James 3:17. Let me just quickly read James 3:17. All I'm doing is letting you know I could have the word in the plural. It doesn't, when we say fruit, you might think, well, the reason it's not in the plural is that fruit is the plural word anyway. But no, it can be in the plural. In James 3:17, James writes, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits. Plural. Now, Paul uses the singular. Now we ask ourselves the question, why does Paul use the singular? And I know a couple of men and more, they're just there. Oh no, they get off on correcting people on these little things. Somebody says the fruits of the Spirit. No, it's fruit of the Spirit. Like, I'm real spiritual because I know that. Somebody says the book of Revelation. No, it's the book of Revelation. And while that's true, their spirit is not a correct one. They just like straightening people out. So let's, and if you ask, well, what's the difference between fruit and fruit? Because that's what the Greek says. Well, excuse me. That's not good enough. So why does Paul give us the singular? Look at chapter 4, verse 19 is our little clue. Chapter 4, verse 19, my children with whom I am again in labor, until Christ is formed in you. So what we have with the fruit of the Spirit in the singular is because what is going to happen as the fruit matures and becomes richer and sweeter, all these things happen, and it happens little by little. What begins to happen is Christ is formed in you. So the fruit of the Spirit singular is the formation of Jesus Christ in you. Another way that Paul words it is putting on Christ. Putting on Christ is the fruit of the Spirit. So many pastors will teach the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But now we come to another question. Dealt with the singular and the plural. But now what we want to deal with is even a more emphatic one. Okay, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, but we come to the great issue, and that is how. How do I get the fruit of the Spirit? And this is very important. How do I get? Now we've moved into the realm of truth. How do I see getting the fruit of the Holy Spirit? And how you answer this question is going to determine how you live, if you desire the fruit of the Spirit. So if I say the fruit of the Spirit is by doing this, and you desire the fruit of the Spirit, that will determine your life. You see what I'm saying? Y'all just kind of looking at me. But I know it's not that profound, but I want you to see how profound it is in a Christian's life. However I think I get the fruit of the Spirit, and I do want the fruit of the Spirit, I'm talking about only those who do want it, then I'm going to make sure I'm doing this. So that if a preacher, pastor, movement, denomination says, this is what you have to do, then I'm going to do it. They've got me. They've got me locked in. Moral righteousness. And then you'll get them. Work hard not to sin is the idea. You work at not sinning and you'll get these. You'll get the filling of the Spirit. Just, I've been told, learn doctrine. And the more doctrine you learn, the more fruit you get. There are others who talk about the fruit of the Spirit comes through this emotional relationship with God. Others say, no, it's your whole life service. And as you live your life doing these things, you'll get the fruit of the Spirit. So, how I answer this question becomes a great issue. Obedience to the law is the normal answer, the normal understanding. You have to obey, and they mean by that, the law, or their list. What if I have this? Their list that they have compiled. Because a lot of denominations have compiled their list. They've gone to the law, the Old Testament, gone to the New Testament, and they've got them all worked up. They'll pass you out copies of their compilation of the list of what their movement, their denomination, have to say on this issue. And all you have to do is learn their list, whoever it may be, Roman Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, some independent Bible church movement, some person that's got a nationwide or worldwide movement. What did they say you have to do to get the fruit of the Spirit? By obedience to the law. How do you put on Christ? By obeying the law. How do you put on the armor of God? Obeying the law. How is Christ formed in you? Obey the law and Christ will be formed in you. Christ formed in you is obeying the law. And I can go to verses and really show you that. They all can go to verses, people. This is why it's so crucial the way I opened up tonight. How do you see the truth? How do you see what's going on? Because all these groups have it. And then the great question is, how can, 5 million people be wrong? Say, following the Roman Church or the Southern Baptist or the Pentecostal movement or some movement that's going on, the Mormons, and just growing and growing and growing. How can millions of people be wrong and you be right? Because the majority is always right. We know that. So, it's how we see the truth. Now, I want to make a statement. It's very important about what we're getting ready to look at. Do not turn the fruit of the Holy Spirit into law. That's one of the worst things that we can do. Do not turn this into your list that you are going to do. That's the worst thing we could do. Do not turn the fruit of the Spirit into law. Do not take this list and say, I'm going to do this list. I'm going to work at being gentle, kind, peace, joy, love. There's a pastor here in the Dallas area, and people, they tell me his church has just skyrocketed from a group of hundreds to over 2,500, 3,000 now. And what he has done, he has written out 50 things you do to get each one of the fruit of the Spirit. He has actually come up with a list of 50 for each one. And if you will do these 50 things, you will get each one of those. Don't turn the fruit of the Spirit into a list of laws that you're going to do. This is not a list for you to do. What you're looking at, if you please, you're looking at a photograph of your Savior. You're looking at a picture of what Christ formed in you is going to look like. Now, Most of these that we're going to look at, and I don't want to spend a lot of time. I want to go through this like very similar we did with the list of the deeds of the flesh in one evening. But I want to give some points and thoughts to you before we go into it. Most of these you will not even understand, and I mean that. I don't care how mature you are, you will not even understand, and certainly you're not going to understand how some of these are going to come across in every given circumstance. And that's where we really falter. I can understand gentleness. Oh, you can? You know what gentleness is going to look like in every given circumstance? People, I don't. I don't know what it's going to look like. I can't say that in every situation, even with similar ideas, death of a loved one is now right on my mind, working with this and dealing with this right now. I can't say that in every circumstance where a wife is losing her husband or husband is losing his wife, that the way that the Holy Spirit pours gentleness and the way it comes out in me is going to be the same every time. Does that make sense? I don't know how. I don't know what will be needed, but the Holy Spirit will. So what I'm trying to say to you is we won't even understand these things. You know, gentleness. How do you know what gentleness is going to be like? You can't do these things with the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to go look it up in Webster. I'm going to look it up in the Greek lexicon and the Hebrew lexicon. I'm going to write it down and then I'm going to form that. That's what makes gentleness and kindness. Let's take, just for example, here we have love and gentleness and kindness. You don't know what it's actually going to do, the actual action of gentleness every time. They're the fruit of the Spirit. I trust Him to guide me. I don't know what kindness will be needed. I don't know what gentleness is going to be in a relationship with my husband and wife. Every time I do this in regard to my wife, every time I do this in regard to my husband, that's law. Every husband ought to do this, every wife ought to do that. That's law. Don't do that with the fruit of the Spirit, people. That's why Paul is so adamant here in these last days. Led of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. He will lead. He will guide. These are His fruit, not mine. The best that I can say is, I am compelled by the spiritual love to do this. Love compels me to do this. Gentleness compels me to do this, to do that. That's all that I can say. How did you know to do that? An honest answer is, the Spirit led me. People don't like that answer. They want something that they can copy. Well, how did you know to do it just that way? Man, I'd love to be like that. And then you write a book on it. What a shame. Because the way that love will compel you and kindness and all of these things in your relationship with believers, people, is going to be different than somebody else's, and more importantly even than that, it'll be different next time in your own life. I hope I'm communicating. Don't know. You're just looking at me. But what I hope you'll see is that don't let anybody try to, I can define love, I can define kindness and gentleness and all of these things and know what they're going to be. They are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I have to wait for Him to tell me how they're going to be. It's a fruit of the Spirit of Christ being formed in me. Don't know how it's going to be the next time. It's just, this is the way it leads me now. That's one of the many things wrong with this WWJD. What would Jesus do? Only thing I can tell you is this. Christ was led of the Spirit. That I can tell you what Jesus would do. How Jesus knew to tell one man, I'm not going to go with you to your house. Your son's healed and you just walk alone. Because he wanted Christ to walk with him. Another man says, you don't have to walk with me. All you have to do is say the word, my son will be healed. I want to walk with you. Wow, I wish I had that kind of wisdom. Man, I wish I knew to walk when I walk and don't walk when I should and walk when I shouldn't and when to heal whom I shouldn't and when to do this and when to tell one woman I'm not going to heal her child because she's a dog. Well, I wish I had that kind of wisdom. I always end up telling people they're a dog at the wrong time. Don't do that. Know this. The same Spirit that led our Savior leads you. Trust that. Trust that. He leads you. He cares how His love looks. He cares how His kindness looks and acts and is and sounds. What it sounds like. He cares and He'll lead you. That's walking by faith. So, Scripture makes it very clear in all these are fruit of the Spirit. How do I get the fruit of the Spirit again? How do I get anything that comes from God? The Holy Spirit is God. How do I get anything from God? I get it by faith. I simply trust Him and He gives it to me. I do not earn from God. That's our basic understanding of God. It's the basic truth of the gospel. And that's what I have to go. I want the fruit of the Spirit. I will trust the Holy Spirit and He will pour these things into me. They come from the Holy Spirit, not from any works that I do, anything that I think I'm going to do. Okay, let's take a look. First one, love. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay, I want to begin with a negative. This is not love from the flesh. This is not virtue love. This is not integrity love. All those kinds of shibboleths that man likes to use. If we do a work on virtue love, if we do a work on integrity love, what we're saying is the love that is coming out from me is based on my integrity, my virtue. No, they're not. They're not based on your integrity or your virtue. They are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They are His. This is His love. This isn't even my love. This is His love. He's pouring it through me. Don't let somebody take you into integrity love. That's so evil. I mean evil. It's taking credit for something that God does. In fact, it's not even that because it's not even coming out from you. But you're trying to produce something of the Spirit, calling it yours. So all of this stuff is claiming it's something for who and what I am. That is unbelievable arrogance, but worse, it's great deception. Because what it's saying is, I can figure it out. And because of I'm so much of integrity, and I have such great virtue, the love that comes out of me is that. No. People, it's from a real, living being. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of Jesus Christ given to you. It's His. And it's coming through us. So this is a fruit of the Spirit. And don't ever forget that. Just stay with that word. Fruit of the Spirit. And then you will never try to claim it's yours. You won't be charmed by somebody and their clever maneuvering of words and their clever system of teaching to think that this is yours. And it's somehow you obtained it. You attained this level where you can do it. No. A child can do this. If they just walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. So this is not something from man. Now, I'm not going to spend a long time. Spiritual love places number one. It's the foremost commandment. It's the heart of all of the law. It's the fulfillment of all the law. Look at chapter 5, verse 6. Chapter 5, verse 6, the only thing, reading from the NIV, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The place of love, God is love. Love is the goal of the Christian life. Now, this love is the love wherewith Christ has loved us. This is His love. Now, I've told you that the fruit of the Spirit is Christ formed in you. Let's take a look at something. John 13, 34 and 35, which you've really looked at so many times, is the new commandment. Love one another as I, we're dealing with spiritual love one another, that love coming out, as I loved you. So, whose love are we having? It's not my love, it's the love of Jesus Christ, as I love. This is His love. So, in reference to the deeds of the flesh, this love from the Holy Spirit, spiritual love, will not do the deeds of the flesh, but, and probably more important than even that, is how we respond to those who do the deeds of the flesh. What is this love? Now, stay with me. We have studied the deeds of the flesh. And under the deeds of the flesh, what did we look at? We looked at a long list of sins. Some of them offended us greatly. Some of them did not offend us so greatly because we're more common to them. Or they're more common to us, coming out from us. Now, where does spiritual love fit into this whole equation? Spiritual love comes into this whole equation. How am I to deal with one? How am I to deal with another believer who, coming out from them toward me, are the deeds of the flesh? Scripture makes it clear the deeds of the flesh are sin and not pleasing to God. All the things we want to say about it. But what does Scripture say I'm to do with somebody who deals with me in the flesh? Am I to deal with them in the flesh? No. Out from me will come the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So while they deal with me with the deeds of the flesh, which are always going to be sin, rather than react, rather than seek revenge and get even and all this stuff, what comes out from me is spiritual love toward them. What they're going to receive is spiritual love. This is what the Scripture does say we're to do. So if you live by the law, remember, you're under the dilemma of the law. And the dilemma of the law is we must judge, bite, devour one another. So if someone treats me in sin, I've got to take care of that. I've got to retaliate, judge, devour, bite, snap, until we kill each other. What does Scripture say? If I'm walking in the Spirit-filled life by the Holy Spirit, what's going to come out of me is love. Not devouring, not biting, not judging, not maligning, but spiritual love. This is what will come out of me. So, this is the love of Jesus Christ, wherewith He has loved us. It's His love, given to Him by the Holy Spirit. So, this is the first step. The first, I want Christ formed in me. What's my first step? The love of Jesus Christ. What does that love look like? Let me give you some ideas what this love looks like. It looks like a man down on his knees washing the dirty feet of 11 men who don't even have a 12 men who don't even have a clue of what's going on. What does this love look like? This love looks like a man who he himself is about to die, but he comforts those around him with bread and a cup for the new covenant. What does this love look like? It looks like one hanging on the cross in the place of someone else bearing the burden of their chest. That's what it looks like. See, we have a lot of shibboleths, and by that I mean words that we like to cover up our real understanding and denial of what love is. Tough love. That gives me the right to crucify you instead of me being crucified to take care of your burden. Tough love gives me an excuse for beating you and still call it love. Impersonal love. That gives me a right to walk away, live and let live, instead of going out of my way to bear your burden. Instead of going out of my way, not have to lower myself to wash the manure off of your feet. I'll just call it impersonal love and walk away. All of those things people are to hide, what spiritual love will do. This is His love. Look at Him. Watch Him. Through Scripture. Don't try to imitate that, but get an idea of what it's like, and this is the way the Holy Spirit will lead you. So that when you are called upon and what comes into your soul, you know, if I really want to deal in love, I'm going to have to eat crow. I'm going to have to shut up. I'm going to have to stoop down. I'm going to have to give up my right of being the husband and have all the authority or the boss or this or that or appear to be right and on and on and on. I'm going to have to cover their sins. I'm going to have to do this and do that. I'm going to have to hang on a cross. Bear their burden. That's what it looks like. Okay? Second one. Joy. Whew! Inner happiness. This is something inside. Love's inside.
comes out. Joy inside. This is not just any happiness, though. And this is not a joy or a happiness that depends on the circumstances of life, which most of the time, if we're really honest, that's the way we grow up and we think about when we're really happy and when there's joy. The circumstances of life are the way we want them to be. That's not the joy here. This is not a joy of circumstances. This is not inner happiness that depends on the circumstances. This is the joy that belongs to Jesus Christ. Look at John 15. This was our New Year special. But look at John 15. We saw the love is His. Now look at John 15, verse 11. John 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you that, now look why, my joy, His joy, may be in you. People, that's a profound thought, and I want it to sink in, that you can have the same joy Jesus Christ had. You can have the same love that Jesus Christ had. In your home, in your marriage, in your workplace, in your social life, can actually be present the love that put Christ on the cross. That powerful of a love can be present if you'll walk in the Spirit and let Him pour His fruit into you by faith. The joy that belonged to Jesus, our Savior, the humanity of our Savior, that same joy. People, either this is a joke and Christ doesn't mean this, or He does. The same, very same joy. Oh, no, not this. I mean, we can have a human relative joy, but not the very same, people. Because it's by the power of God the Holy Spirit. All right, let's finish reading. I got diverted into preaching. 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Okay, my joy in you, and that now it's your joy, now it becomes your joy, that the power of the Spirit becomes your joy, may be made full. It's going to come little by little by little. But the more you walk in the Spirit, the richer the fruit gets, or what? The greater the image of Christ being formed in you starts becoming. I can't pass up verse 12 when I'm this close to it. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So here we have joy and love. They both belong to Jesus Christ, and they both are given to us by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. So back to Galatians chapter 4. Very important concept on this happiness. Look at chapter 4, verse 15. Galatians 4, 15. Where then is that sense of blessing or joy that you had? Where did it go? See, what they were doing is, we've seen, they started off doing it right. They were saved by grace through faith. Faith in the Holy, in Jesus Christ for salvation. They were walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. So we saw that they were doing it right. You were running well. So they were walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. And when you're doing that, guess what you have? You have that joy, that inner happiness that comes from the Holy Spirit, not from the circumstances of life. But when you stop walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, there goes the joy. You don't have it. That's like losing the inheritance. You're losing this now. Let's say you stay out a whole day, to make my point. 24 hours. 24 hours, no joy. 24 hours, no inheritance. Just because you what? You didn't want to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. That simple. So this is what we're dealing with. Christ being formed in us. Let's look at the third one. Third one is peace. Peace. Let me say this about this word. You will know this word, and you know what it's about when you're suffering, and you're in such a position, when the cry of your soul is for nothing more than just some peace inside. I'm not talking, Father, about happiness. I'm not talking about money and friends and marriage and family and wife and husband and money and success and on and on and on, a wonderful Christmas. I'm talking, Father, keep everything else going, but just give me some peace inside. Then you'll know what comes. Then you'll know And if we had time to study this word, I'd take you through a lot of David's Psalms. Take you through a lot of writing in Scripture to know about this peace. So this is a peace of the soul. When you sin, when others are sinning against you, so where is the peace going to come from? Where is the peace going to come from? Let's look at a few passages. Look with me first of all at 1 Peter 3. Just in a peace. I'm crying for that tonight, today. You don't even have to straighten matters out. Just give me some peace. Where are you going to get it? A lot of answers are given today. Being right with everybody. Go be right with everybody. Go talk to everybody you sin against. What is that? Go put on some fig leaves. Go cover up your genitals and everybody ain't going to be right with everybody. Whoa. That's really going to make me happy. It's probably going to compound my problem. I start go telling people what things I've done. So, that's one. Another one. What is it? We studied in high school, but it takes on so many different Eastern forms of transcendentalism. Just sit and meditate. We got some perfect music from we understood the TV offer. This is music, and it removes everything from you, and you have some peace inside, because what you do is you, in your power of the flesh, you just remove yourself from all of the things going on around you. And it's just so peaceful. And you have the running water and beautiful music. And you're sitting there. And you might want a special order for an extra $25. Our little bell, you go, boom, boom, and ring this little bell. Makes a beautiful sound. The Orientals have discovered this millions of years ago, how tranquil this is. See, we got that one for you. People, man, have answers for all this stuff. I'm talking about a supernatural peace. I'm talking about a peace that comes from a living being called the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Oh, I love this. Okay, how am I going to seek peace? How am I going to pursue peace? Here it is, you have it. Seek peace. Pursue it. That's what I want to do. Work hard at it. Now comes the great question, preacher. How? How am I going to do it? What I see in Scripture is, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll just walk by the Holy Spirit, by faith, that's all. He will pour His peace into you. Look at Romans chapter 14, please. Romans 14. Verse 19. So then let us. I'm going to have something to say about let us, but I'll say that for chapter 6. So then let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. But the question is, how? How do I pursue peace with one another and the things that make for it? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 14. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Okay, we come to the how. How do I obtain and seek and pursue this peace? People, there are, and we've studied this, so let me just go through it quickly. Each one of these, some of them add a little more dimension, put them all together. But we have, and we studied this in John 13 and 14, it started off in John 13, whom I, Jesus Christ, send, and then in John 14, right where we are, two sendings. And we studied it in Isaiah 49. We studied all of this. The two sendings by God, or of God, or by God. The first sending is the sending of His Son. The second sending is the sending of His Spirit once His Son left planet Earth. Sending to planet Earth. He sent His Son to planet Earth. His Son came, did His work, and left. sent His Spirit to planet Earth. Now we have the two sendings. There are two peace that we have here. There is one peace that is established by Jesus Christ. He broke down the barrier between man and God and established this peace. This is an eternal peace that we have through the person of Jesus Christ. But I want a peace in my daily life. I want daily peace in my soul. When things are not going right in the world, things are not going right in my world, things are not going right, when I say right, the way I would like them to go, and I can't control people, I can't make people do what I want, and things are just really, and how do I have this peace in my life right now, not eternally? Okay, I got it eternally, and I'm happy for that, but I need it now. How do I get this peace now? How do I obtain this peace now? That's what I want to do. And this peace obtained now comes from the Holy Spirit by my walking with Him. People, it again is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But what I want you to see is the peace that you and I have experientially in our life, it's the peace that belongs to Jesus Christ. Not the peace that He established at the cross. I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about the peace that Jesus Christ has. Look with me at John 14. John 14. We'll look at several passages, but I want you to see some things here. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Talking to believers. People are already saved here. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. But there is another peace. There's the peace that we have here, but there's an experiential peace that is the peace of Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians 3:15. This is the peace of Christ being formed in you. The love the Holy Spirit gives is the love of Christ. The joy that the Holy Spirit gives is the joy of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the peace that He gives. It's the peace of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace, let it, now, in your soul, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Now just think about that. Let it happen. I like this one because it doesn't talk about pursuit. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let it rule. What does rule mean? It means that nothing's going to intrude on it. Peace is going to sit there and say, no, I'm not going to let you come in and interrupt it. That's what rule means. I'm not going to let what you do to me, the way you treat me in sin, I'm not going to let that come in and break my peace, my joy. What's going on? My inner tranquility of my soul. But we come to again, how? How do we let it happen? How do I let this peace rule? How do I let His peace become my peace? And again, people, I come back to the four corners that we talked about, and that is, what's the truth? What to you is the true way of getting this peace? And it's from the fruit, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, so it's by the Holy Spirit. How am I going to get it from the Holy Spirit? Working for Him, or simply by trusting in Him, and He will pour into my soul this peace. This peace is also called the peace of that belongs to God. Let me just read for you this one. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a powerful statement about this peace, people. A lot of people talk about a lot of fruit of the Spirit and a lot of things going on in life. I want to just jump ahead a little bit with you. We've been talking about things that go on inside of you. We've been talking about, for an example, we've been talking about love, spiritual love. That's inside of us. We've been talking about joy. That's inside. Now we're talking about peace. That's inside. All of these things are inside. The next one is patience. That's inside. But let me just stop and get you ready now. Let me just show you something. Let's say in your soul, here you are, and inside of you right now is the love of Christ, the joy of Christ, and the peace of Christ. Let's say that's inside. And that's ruling. Someone comes along and those earlier verses and commits one of those sins against you. If these things, if this fruit of the Spirit are inside of you, can you now see how, if there is a peace in your soul, they've sinned against you and really hurt you? Take any one of those. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, divisions, factions, judgment, envy, jealousy, on and on and on. And they do them against you. Can you kind of, in your mind, see if love is there, joy is there, peace is there in your soul, that isn't going to hurt you. Can you see that? If you stay walking in the Spirit and these things stay, I'm not talking about if you react and lose them. The moment you lose them, you've lost it all and you're going to react. But what I want you to see is, how am I going to be able to give this person kindness? How in the world can you give kindness to somebody who's done one of those sins against you? Very easy. If there's love in your soul, joy in your soul, and there's a peace in your soul, they didn't interrupt your love, they didn't interrupt the joy, they didn't interrupt the peace, you can't hurt me. Let me help you. What? Instead of reacting to that, let me look over that and let me help you so that you have the same love, the same joy, and the same peace that I have inside of me. I want you to have that. This is how it works. This is how forgiveness works. How it can work. But if I concentrate on the sin, if I concentrate on a me, meaning a flesh me, I've got to react. I've got to deal with you in law. But I don't know if any of you have ever been so happy, even in the flesh, for nothing to bother you. You know, just something happened. Something is mundane, you know. Some of you may not get this excited, but, you know, your team won the big game, and somebody can come along and say, you know, well, your house is burned down. I don't care! We won the game! You know, what do you mean you don't care? Your house is... I don't care! We won the game! And right then you mean it. You really do mean it. That's what I'm talking about here. Oh, this won't go away. Once you go home and see the fires, this stays. If you continue walking in the Spirit, and it governs your, the whole tranquility now of your soul governs your whole relationship with others. This starts coming out from you. This starts, put all of these together. Don't separate them. Put a soul that has love, joy, peace, long suffering when put in here, and all these things. Then you can see, yeah, kindness is going to come out of that kind of soul. Can't help but come out of that kind of soul. Gentleness has got to come out of that soul. So what I'm showing you is the fruit of the Spirit forming Christ in you is why what's going to come out of you is no surprise. It's not going to surprise us at all. So, for the eyes that will see them, this peace is not from us. This peace has to be from the Holy Spirit. How can I have peace when my world is falling apart? How can I have an inner peace when these things have been done to me? From the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17. We'll look at a few things in closing. Romans 14:17. Write down your life. Not peace at the cross. I don't know your salvation one experience. I only know mine. But if you understand enough, and I was just a young lad, but if you understand enough, that peace that comes knowing that I'm at peace with God, it's a and that can happen throughout your whole life. That same kind of peace. All right, Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God, we looked at this Sunday, but each time we look at something different. For the kingdom of God, which you're living in right now, is not eating and drinking. It's not based on what you eat or drink, don't eat or drink. Sometimes people are just really happy if they're just eating a good meal. I'm kind of more on that leaning. But that has nothing to do with this peace here. But righteousness, and peace. See, if you know you can't pursue this kind of peace, then you know you can't pursue that kind of righteousness. Or if you know you can't pursue the righteousness of God, then you realize you can't pursue the peace. And joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go back to Galatians chapter 6. We're almost through. Galatians chapter 6. And I want you to look at verse 16. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Okay, that's the rule. See, it's just another place, people. How you see Scripture. What is the rule? The rule, the truth of the gospel. Walk by faith. That's the rule. We'll come to it as we finish out today. Chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace is salvation 1, peace is salvation 2, living our Christian life, and the peace that we live in our life is the peace of Jesus Christ. So we have the love that Christ had, the inner joy that Christ had, the peace that Jesus Christ had in suffering. Remember what his life is about. 3 years of his public life is about suffering, people betraying him, having to get out. I mean, the guy had to run. Hope that's not disrespectful. But the guy had to run out of Jerusalem. 2, maybe 3 times, depending how you interpret there at the end. Had to run out of Jerusalem 2 or 3 times. Get out of town. They're going to kill you. And finally, the 4th time, they killed him. Because he didn't get out of town. Because it was time now for him to die. So his life is filled with all of this stuff going on in his life. And yet all the way through, an inner peace, a joy, love. How can that be? Because the Holy Spirit gave them to him, and the Holy Spirit gives them to you. The same way. That's why it's Christ being formed in you. Tomorrow night we'll begin with the 4th one, patience. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, wow, Father, we're so thankful that these things are given to us freely, graciously by your grace, because there's no way that we could earn and deserve them. We know we didn't deserve our eternal redemption at the cross, and Father, we know there's just no way we can earn or get these things in the flesh. And once again, Father, we learn about you. You just freely give them, and you sent the Spirit to do it, if we will just trust him. Something else we learned tonight, Father, about you. And boy, this one just touches down. You care. You care about our inner peace. Because you know the sorrows come on the flesh. You care that we're happy, have an inner happiness. Not in the sense of always giving us things, but giving us real happiness in the soul. That's where we really get a picture of you. You care about it. We get a glimpse of this, Father, in the way we deal with each other. We want our husbands and our wives and our children to be happy. We want to give them some things to bring joy. We want an environment of peace where we don't keep them in turmoil. But we just can't give that to everybody all the time. But you do. You care. We want to be like your son. And so therefore, Father, we will concentrate on your spirit and walk by him in faith. Praise you, Father, for the God you are and redeeming yourself this way. In Christ's name.